Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Listen up, team. We've got a game to win. So here's the strategy. Deposit $200 at BetUS.com and get $450 immediately to play with. Sign up today at BetUS.com or call 1-800-79-BETUS. Be like me. Bet for free.
Good morning to you. It is Friday. It's a summer Friday, and yet we've branded it a early football Friday. Let's not get carried away. I know it's preseason. It's week one of the preseason. But man, when I see football on my TV, I close my eyes and kind of squint, you know, because there's not a lot of starters out there, though you will see a fair number of starters. CJ Stroud got his first taste of NFL action last night in New England. Sounds like football. It's bringing us ever closer to the football season. And as much as I love summer activities and kind of the slower, lazier pace of life in the summer, I'm telling you what, there is nothing like football season in sports radio. The energy is something different. It's not just me. It's not just my business. It's you as listeners and you as football fans. We get jazzed up and geeked up for football in a way that we don't for anything else.
I feel wind underneath my freaking wings, man.
Even Dan Campbell, he's in the same boat. What did he tell us about practice? Going back last week, he was talking about how heads were going to be rolling or spinning or something like that.
And
how
it's going to be chaotic. Epic. Guys are going to be, their heads going to be spinning.
But he said it was going to be epic or something like that. Oh, my gosh. Just trying to find a balance between wanting to enjoy and needing to enjoy the rest of the summer, what's left of it, but really wanting to get to football because there's nothing like it, absolutely nothing like it in American sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let me just give you a taste of what we've got this hour. Rory McIlroy delivers what may be the mother of all zings, the mother of all zingers at Phil Mickelson. You want to talk about, let's see, what would we call it? It's an insult for sure, but it's more playful. He was smiling. What would you call it? Producer Jay,
would call it a shot.
Definitely a shot. A shot across the bow, if you will. I kind of feel like it's more about the fact that he still hates Liv. It's not so much about Phil Mickelson as much as it is about the fact that Rory can't stand that stupid tour. He hates it, as he tells us all the time. And so for that reason, this might not be a shot at Phil. It might not be, it's epic, I'll tell you that. But it might not be just a zinger at Phil. It may be more about the Liv tour.
Hit Liv.
I mean, I hate Liv.
Like, I hate Liv.
He's so salty. Ever since the announcement of the merger, he's just been on a roll.
Let it go, dude. Let it go.
Oh, okay. So we're going to let you hear this. It's classic, but it's nasty from Rory McIlroy, though he does deliver it with a smile.
Hit Liv.
I know. I got you. Also, we're going to get to what is an incredible gesture by one PGA Tour golfer in the wake of the wildfires in Maui that have actually claimed now more than 50 lives. And I've heard there are hundreds and hundreds of people that are still unaccounted for. So the winds are moving these wildfires across Maui. And because they can't keep up with it, the winds are blowing so hard, they're unable to contain the fires. And at last count, it was 53 people who had passed away and many hundreds more who they just haven't been able to account for yet. And in the wake of that, one golfer who's family heritage is all Hawaii. He's made an incredible gesture, even as the FedEx Cup playoffs get underway. So we'll do a little bit of golf, strangely enough, We don't generally talk a lot of golf this time of the year, but Phil Mickelson, well, he's changed that, of course, because yet another salacious revelation in a book about Phil Mickelson. I have been promising you all week Steph Curry singing on stage at a concert. No, we're going to get to it before the end of the hour. We absolutely are, because I've run out of real estate. I don't have any more time. We just it's either this hour or you need to take away my broadcasting card. Just take it away. If I can't follow through on a tease after a whole week, Jay, do you think I can do it?
I think you can do it.
You think don't you love how I make it a we? Do you think that I can finally follow through and follow up on what I've been promising all week?
I think we got this.
Now, is this a case of better late than never or no?
Yeah. Jay. I suppose. We've been sitting on it for a few days.
Suppose. I've been building it up. What if it's terrible and people hate it?
No, I don't think so.
But even if it is terrible and people hate it, we have Mike Tyson.
That is good.
Classic Mike Tyson. Wait until you hear this. It's only 13 seconds, but that's all you need, this exchange between Dana White and Mike Tyson.
I want to eat his children.
No, he doesn't even have to say that, actually. You will not forget it. You'll be telling people. You'll be looking it up because you need to hear it again. So all of that to say, it's going to be a good hour here on CBS Sports Radio. I actually will not be here on Sunday night, so you won't have me back again until Monday night. I am taking a personal day. I've got a concert to attend to. I'd like to make it much more noble. I've got a doctor's appointment. I've got a family matter to attend to. We do have this one guy who works in our newsroom who every time he just doesn't feel like working, or he's busy because he's got another job and he feels like he's overworked and his mental health is taking a hit, his way of calling out is to say, I have a family matter to attend to, which we both know is BS. He has no family matters to attend to. But that's what he says. And then the manager can't really say a word about it, right? Okay, well, I understand. Take your personal day. He's done that twice to us here on the show where he's supposed to be working with us, and instead he has a family matter to attend to.
It's convenient.
It's very convenient. Now, I don't want to be super snarky, a tad snarky, not super snarky. But yes, family matter to attend to. That's not what I have Sunday night. I'm going to a concert. I'll just be straight up with you. But I don't think you want me to come to work after going to a concert on Sunday night. So I'm taking off Sunday night. And then at the end of next week, so this time next week, you'll have someone else sitting in this chair for after hours. I'm a little bit disappointed because I'm not disappointed to be filling in on another show. I'll be hosting Maggie and Perloff solo, so I don't think either one of them is working. We'll have fun on the show. It'll be great. I know it airs live on YouTube. I'm going to be very careful not to let any of Bob's family know it's airing live on YouTube during the daytime. But it'll be fun. It's always a good challenge to get out of my comfort zone to do a different show, a different time slot with a different producer. There's no one like producer Jay, but it's a good lesson every now and then to step outside your own time slot and your own comfort zone and stretch yourself as a broadcaster. Even 20 plus years in, I can see the value of that. And so I'm going to be doing a different show, which means next week you only have me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights here on the show. Are you sad? Jay, you're sad, aren't you? You don't have anyone else to pawn off those stale chips on.
I'm still sad about the chips, that they were stale.
Who's going to bring you soda or oatmeal apricot bars?
Not anyone who I'm working with.
Nope, that's true. It's just.
Well, I don't know.
It's a bunch of dudes, and it's boring. Let's just be honest. It's not nearly as good.
No.
We don't get Mike Tyson and Dana White or Steph Curry singing, because we're getting to that this hour here on CBS Sports Radio. We are. Absolutely, we are. Okay. Here's the dealio, yo. C.J. Stroud saw his first NFL action last night in New England, starting as the number 2 overall pick for the Houston Texans. And while there's always some value in getting reps, especially for young players, he also had his welcome to the NFL rookie moment.
Now Stroud hanging in, throws it to the near side, picked up. And on the return for the Pats, sidestepping ahead is Mills. Takes it back across the middle. Try to turn the corner on the far side. It's still on his feet. Until he takes the spill at the 24.
Bob Sosi, Scott Zolak there on Patriots Radio, which they were also using to carry on, or maybe they were doing TV. Either way, it was on NFL Network, and they were the voices. Recognize those voices. C.J. Stroud gets picked off on his very first series. He got sacked as well. He looked a little hesitant to me, but I can understand it. The speed, it's coming at you at a different rate than it does even at the highest levels of college football. But what D'Amico Ryans liked about his rookie is how he handled himself post-interception.
He was fine. He was fine. I think it's good to have some ups and downs. That's what this league is all about. It's not always going to go great, not always go your way, but it's all about how you respond to the things that happen to you. And I thought his response to it was fine.
Numbers don't matter in the preseason. What matters the most is that you are thrown into the fire and you get your first taste of how to handle it. And for CJ, I mean, obviously, he would have liked to play better, light the world on fire. Okay, whatevs. It's preseason. It doesn't count. In fact, sharing preseason football scores is a little bit like sharing spring training baseball scores. It's against my religion. I do not tell you the scores. It doesn't matter at all. But it was cool to see him on the field.
Kind of a crazy opportunity to be able to go out my first NFL stadium, first NFL game, and just a lot of things that I've been through to just get to that moment. So it was just special. Just wish I didn't do one mistake on one certain play. But other than that, thought I played solid. It felt good to get hit again and just get back in the groove. I just think that preseason, that's what preseason is for. It's important just to get back and put your feet back in the water. So, I'm not super excited how I played. Didn't get to play a lot, but just get my feet in the water, learn from my mistakes, and just keep growing.
Thought he moved around well. Was he? Went to the right place with the ball a couple times, you know, and it was good to see him move out of the pocket and try to make some things happen there. We know we have some things to clean up front. I don't want him having to move as much, but we all have things to clean up and get better at. But I thought it was a good first outing, good look at live action. So I thought it was good for him.
Did he urinate down his leg? That's what I want to know. Because Mike Tomlin really uses that as the base level of evaluation. If he did not pee on himself, well, then we know it was a positive.
He didn't urinate down his leg, man. That's a great place to begin.
After a year, Jay, it's still funny. Is it ever not going to be funny?
No, I don't think so.
It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so C.J. Stroud, welcome to the NFL. D'Amico Ryans' first head coaching gig. As for the Patriots, they did not start Mac Jones. It was Bailey Zappe from the beginning. That opening series after the pick, they end up with a field goal. Nothing to write home about. It's just, hey, let's get the party started in week number one of the preseason. What is important to note about the Patriots, though, and not that all these guys were out there, but they only lost one member of their defense from last year. So expect them to have a strong presence and maybe, once again, be the better half of the equation. I don't know, though. Bill O'Brien, now the offensive coordinator. So we'll see what kind of strides Mac Jones and company, or I guess Bailey Zappe, depending upon if you believe the debate coming out of New England. Bill Belichick gives us a little nothing of nothing.
I don't know.
You'll get nothing and you like it. That's how Bill Belichick approaches preseason position battles.
I covered it.
We're just out there playing football. That's it. That's all I got for you today. We don't have time for that.
That's not my job.
Pete Carroll, though, he's completely the opposite. He loves preseason. The man was sprinting down the sidelines in a preseason game, for heaven's sakes.
Tonight was nothing but fun. We had a great time. It was hard getting started. You could tell that this was the first time we tackled anybody. That's why we used the preseason games. And then we needed the first quarter to kind of just, whatever, shake the cobwebs or whatever. And the defense came back from the second quarter on. They played great. Played great all night long. And then those young kids did a beautiful job of playing the scheme and making the plays we needed to make.
Pete Carroll has been working on this defense. Pete Carroll and John Schneider working on the defense there in Seattle because it was bad last year. It was actually on Geno Smith and the offense to carry the Seahawks last year, but they did have a record above 500. They made it back to the playoffs. They were a wild card. And honestly, what a revelation. It was one of the stories of the season, right? Because Geno Smith was the starter. They never did end up supplementing supplementing their quarterback room. They went with Geno versus Drew Lock, and Geno won the job. Now he's firmly entrenched as their starter, though it was Drew Lock who played last night. And it was good for him, actually, because, and I, it's not that I didn't realize this, but I had forgotten. We spoke with Greg Bell in Seattle, so he joined us live in the second hour of the show. He reminded us that Geno took every single snap for the Seahawks last year at quarterback, partly because he was the starter, he'd earned the job, but also because they needed him to get those reps. This was really his first time as the starter going back to his early days with the Jets. And so they wanted him out there. He's earned the gig. He's got the confidence of not just the team, but the fans. He loves that. So for that reason, it was Drew Lock's first action since last preseason, which is kind of crazy. He'd been holding a clipboard all year long, so good for him. He was actually really happy about it. And one of his touchdowns was thrown to a fourth year, would you say fourth line receiver? I mean, he's buried on the depth chart. His name is Aesop Winston. He caught a touchdown. And he was carrying the ball around, including into the post-game press conference.
I'm giving this to my mom. This is very, like, this is my first touchdown in NFL, my fourth year. So this is a big moment for me, and she sacrificed a lot for me to get here. So I think it's only right that I give it to her.
How about that? Aesop Winston, first touchdown in the NFL, preseason or no, sometimes this represents major milestones for these players, and maybe they never get the chance in an actual regular season game. Maybe they end up on practice squad. They're not ever pressed into duty, but for him, what a milestone. First touchdown, and he would not let go of the ball. According to Greg, he walked around with it and was still carrying it into the postgame press conference, but wouldn't put it down and couldn't wait to give it to his mom, so that's awesome. Thought that was a story worth sharing, and still hoping that he makes the team and has a chance to impact, and maybe we'll remember the name Aesop Winston. If you want to hear more about the Seahawks and the potential this season, according to Greg, one factor will determine if the Seahawks are making strides this year and if they are actually a Super Bowl contender. I'm telling you, I gave him multiple chances. One factor, he said. There'll be one measuring stick. So you can find that conversation with Greg on our podcast. We post the link every weekday morning on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. You don't even have to go searching for it. We make it readily available to you. So yeah, we had preseason action last night with C.J. Stroud. And as well, we had Pete Carroll sprinting. He was doing a gasser up the sideline. So football is back, baby. Coming up, Phil Mickelson in the headlines again for all the wrong reasons. Rory McIlroy takes one hell of a shot at him, but he does it with a smile, so maybe that makes it better. A really cool gesture by Colin Morikawa. You can tell it's Friday morning, and I promise you, Mike Tyson, Dana White, Steph Curry. Is that an eclectic mix, something you would never get in any other sports radio forum on the planet? We pride ourselves on getting you and us off the beaten path. Good morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
So much hard work was put into this. But when I hear that champion golfer of the year, it gives me chills, you know, to hold the Claret Jug, to be here in England, winning my second major with my first British. It's special.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That takes us back a bit to 2021 in the Open Championship, so 2 years ago, but Colin Morikawa, a two-time major winner, and now is part of the FedEx Cup playoffs that were taking place in Memphis, first round on Thursday. And he has made an incredible gesture for the people of Maui, who right now are still in the throes of wildfires and attempting to, if they can, to flee the wildfires, but also the tragedy of hundreds of homes and businesses being lost. 53 people at last count have passed away, And there are many other people who are unaccounted for. So we're talking about rescue and recovery missions that are taking place Thursday and now on into Friday, or soon on into Friday, in Maui. There are entire villages and communities that have been destroyed and devastated, and now a national emergency on Maui. So it's a really sad situation. And Callan decided that he would give $1,000 to the recovery efforts for every birdie he makes in the FedEx Cup playoffs.
We've decided on two charities, Maui United Way and World Central Kitchen, to help out, you know, not just people in Maui, but obviously hopefully people in Hawaii, because it's everywhere. It's devastating what we've been able to see, or what we've been seeing. The before and after photos are just heartbreaking, knowing that, you know, my entire dad's side of the family, you know, grew up there. My grandparents were born in Lahaina. We had the restaurant out there. That's what the photo was. We went there as kids. You know, it's a special place. And it's amazing how many things you take for granted, you know, really in life. And when you see that, it's just, it's heartbreaking.
The Morikawa restaurant actually closed several years ago, but his family name was on a restaurant there in Lahaina for years. His grandparents were there. And so it's obviously very important to Colin. He grew up in Los Angeles, but his ties are there in Maui, in this community that's been really severely impacted by these fires. So thinking about the people there on Maui and hoping that these fires, hoping and praying these fires are contained without more loss of life and also loss of property. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I wish more people were talking about Colin Morikawa and this incredible gesture and getting behind him as he pledges money to support the people in Maui. Instead, the golf world back in the news on Thursday because of Phil Mickelson. I mean, this is Phil. No matter what he does, he can't stay out of the headlines. Now, granted, this is in his past, but sometimes your past does come back to rear its ugly head and bite you in the behind. A new book. Oh, goodness. He always gets in trouble when there are tell-all books that come out. This one not from someone inside golf, but actually from a renowned professional gambler, Billy Walters. I will confess, I did not know who he was, but we don't run in the same circles. He's a Las Vegas businessman who is considered, I don't know by whom, but he's considered to be the most successful bettor in American history. Okay, there's that. He wrote a book called Gambler, Secrets from a Life of Risk. And the excerpts are out there now, including the parts about Phil Mickelson. They dropped on Thursday. According to Walters, now he says that he looked through betting records as well as two, quote, very reliable sources. Walters writes that Mickelson made nearly 900 bets of $220,000 apiece over a five-year stretch going back into the, you know, the kind of 2010 range, and also made another 1,100 bets of $110,000 each. Walters estimates that Lefty endured losses of approximately $100 million, but that actually pales in comparison to what he bet over 30 years. Again, this is according to Billy Walters, his sources, his records, that Mickelson bet more than $1 billion over three decades. Now, the bombshell is that Walters claims Phil Mickelson called him from Medina Country Club during the Ryder Cup in 2012 and asked Walters to place a $400,000 wager on the U.S. team to win that Ryder Cup. Apparently, Walters, now this is what he writes in his book, he scolded Mickelson, "Have you lost your bleeping mind? Don't you remember what happened to Pete Rose? You'd risk all of your reputation for this? I want no part of it." So Walters writes that he turned Mickelson down, that he did not want to know whether Phil Mickelson found another outlet, another bookie, another way to place that bet. Team USA lost by a point. I have no idea if Mickelson placed the bet, but Mickelson says he did not. "I never bet on the Ryder Cup." He says, "While it is well known that I always enjoy a friendly wager on the course, I would never undermine the integrity of the game." This is Mickelson in a statement on Thursday. Also, he says, "I've been very open about my gambling addiction. I've previously conveyed my remorse, took responsibility, have gotten help, and have been fully committed to therapy that has positively impacted me, and I feel good about where I am now." Now, he's been named in lawsuits before. He's been accused of insider trading. And the money that he's wagered and lost are fairly well documented. It's just the Ryder Cup one was a bit of a revelation. So someone takes that to Rory McIlroy in Memphis yesterday. Rory gets this sly smile on his face as a reporter is asking him about Phil reportedly betting or attempting to bet on the Ryder Cup in 2012.
I mean, at least he can bet on the Ryder Cup this year because he won't be a part of it.
That's cold. That's cold. And he says it with this huge poop-eating grin on his face, too.
He threw a punch.
Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Is that how it goes?
Yikes.
Well, let's just hear it again. And again, picture Rory McIlroy with this sly grin on his face.
I mean, at least he can bet on the Ryder Cup this year because he won't be a part of it.
He hates Liv. This is more about Liv than it is about Phil Mickelson. I do believe that. I hate Liv.
You might be right there.
I really do think this is more about taking a shot at someone on the Liv tour than it is actually about Phil Mickelson.
Like, I hate Liv.
He does, in fact, hate Liv. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, two more things to make you laugh. I mean, that should make you laugh. Ow, Rory. Just wait until you're down and someone kicks you, you big jerk. That's just wrong. Zing!
It wasn't. It's not really called for. That was. I don't know if that was a cheap shot per se, but
it was a bit of a cheap shot.
It was a little bit.
It was a bit of a cheap shot considering that Mickelson has owned up to his gambling problems right in the past. Yeah,
I tend to be on Rory's side, but yeah, that was a little cheap.
This is 2 months ago when Phil Mickelson was asked about his gambling addiction. On social media, he responds with this: haven't gambled in years, almost a billionaire now. Thanks for asking. Ooh, ooh.
Salty, spicy.
Definitely salty. So I don't know. Maybe it's a pot shot at Phil because this is a part of his past that he would like to put in the past. But, I mean, that's the deal. You never really quit your past, do you?
Let it go.
I'm trying. I'm reporting the news. Seriously. Okay, but we'll move on because we've got people. Well, we've got music. We've got music as our next topic. I told you this was an eclectic mix. Are you ready? Steph Curry. Oh my gosh. Jay, what if this completely crashes and burns? All week I've been talking about this. You told me it's good. So Steph Curry gets on stage. Jay's a much better judge of 90s music. 80s music? Is it 80s music?
This is current music. Well,
but you told me this band, I'd never heard of Paramore. You told me this band goes back to did you say the 90s?
No, they don't go to the 90s. They're like early 2000s.
Okay, so yeah. Turn of the century then. And they disbanded for a while, but they got back together and now they're touring. So apparently Steph Curry loves their music. He gets on stage with Paramore and sings Misery Business. Absolutely loves it. Okay, so the video is fantastic. It's on YouTube. It's a good 3-minute clip. And so you can kind of hear Steph in the background there, but if you want to, Jay, you could always use our show Twitter to retweet the link. He is so happy, too. They call him up on stage, and he goes bolting up there from the side where he's watching.
You got, the video is really...
It's fantastic.
He's so into it. He's, like, on the floor, like, on his knees, like, belting Paramore. It's incredible.
Yeah, so because we are only able to show you the audio here on the show, or share the audio here on the show, it's worth going and checking out the YouTube video because it's a hoot. Steph Curry, the many faces of Steph Curry.
Singing his heart out.
He is. I mean, he's like, remember Tom Brady a few years ago at YouTube. Oh my gosh. At YouTube. Why do I say that?
Yes.
He was at YouTube concert in, wasn't he over? He was across the pond at a YouTube concert, right? And he was singing at the top of his lungs. And he just was, he was so into it. Jay loves this clip. We, every now and then we'll trot it out where he's mic'd up. Or no, maybe it was someone took a video, right? Someone took a video of him screaming. Oh, 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 hello, hello. Maybe that was his now ex-wife. Anyway, fantastic. We love it when athletes let their hair down and show us a different side of themselves. So definitely catch the video of Steph Curry performing Misery Business like he is a rock star, I'm telling you.
He probably could be if he wanted to. Why not?
Well, I mean... Is there anything Steph Curry can't do?
No.
No, exactly.
Sing on stage with Haley Williams.
Same thing with Tom Brady. Okay, last thing before we take our break. And this is, well, this is proof that Mike Tyson should never be an entertainer. He should never be a rock star because he does not get the genres. Although I guess anything goes these days. So Mike Tyson with Dana White. This is MMA Mania. And they're having a conversation about old school rap because Dana loves old school rap.
I listen to Rockstar, but I'm a big rap fan from way back when.
Okay.
And you know, I mean, I grew up in the 80s when rap really started to take off. Run DMC, LL Cool J, the Beastie Boys, the Fat Boys, Salt and Pepper.
You give love a bad name.
That's Bon Jovi.
Oh, no.
You did not just do that, Mike Tyson. So Dana White goes on and on about his favorite old school rap, and this is what Mike Tyson responds with.
You give love a bad name.
That's Bon Jovi.
Stop it.
He thought that Bon Jovi was
old school rap. But even so, this pause, this... You've got to be effing kidding me. Pause from Dana White. This stunned silence from Dana White is fantastic. It's
you
like
give
3 seconds.
A bad name.
That's Bon Jovi.
It's just, he didn't say, oh yeah, like Bon Jovi, like messing up. He sang the song. So he literally thinks that that song sounds
like old school rap. I mean, maybe in Mike Tyson's world it is.
If he just got, oh yeah, Bon Jovi, and oh no, never mind, forgot they're not rap. But no, he was singing, thinking that that song was a rap song.
Could we turn it into a rap song?
He didn't. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Friday Funnies. We need to make this a thing, a regular weekly thing. Friday Funnies.
That's Bon Jovi.
Duh. Oh, good stuff. All right.
You give love. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Is that Hall of Fame material? It might be. Mike Tyson in the Hall of Fame for singing Bon Jovi as old school rap. It might be.
He's so into it.
Do we have video of that? Any chance there's video of Mike Tyson singing Bon Jovi?
I'm sure there is.
That would be amazing. On MMA Mania, Dana White was incredulous. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's Bon Jovi.
That's Bon Jovi.
It's just like, what are you doing? Shuts him down.
You just ruined my entire segment. That's Bon Jovi.
That's Bon Jovi.
Oh, so good. All right. Thank you for the Friday Funnies. Here's our latest sports update.
You give love a bad name.
Here's Marco Belletti.
That's Bon Jovi.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Shot through the heart and you're too late.
You give love a bad name.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, that was brilliant, Producer Jay. I'm not sure what's funnier. Mike Tyson trying to sing Bon Jovi. Forget that he thinks it's old school rap, but Mike Tyson singing Bon Jovi, or having gone back and watched more of the Steph Curry video on stage with Paramore. Oh my goodness. If he retires abruptly from the NBA, it's because he has got the bug and he wants to perform. I mean, he's out there dancing around like a crazy person. It's amazing with his microphone too. Like he and is also meant to be a rock star in his next life.
That song, if you go listen to that song, that part of that song, Misery Business, that's like a really hard measure to sing, or not to like to know the words too, and he just crushes it.
He crushes
that's
it.
That's easily the hardest part of the song.
While he's dancing around.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome. Seriously. I mean, as we were saying earlier, is there anything Steph Curry can't do? Probably not. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, getting set for the rest of week one in the NFL preseason. I know, you're not over the top excited. However, it is kind of cool to see some of these rookies get out there and take some snaps for the first time. So we'll see Bryce Young coming up this weekend as well. Anthony Richardson, he'll be on the field for the Indianapolis Colts, and he's actually been named QB1 by Shane Steichen in advance of their preseason opener against the Bills.
A few minutes before practice, you know, coach let me know. I get to go out there and showcase what I'm able to do with the ones a little bit. And the first NFL experience, you know, I'm excited for it. But, you know, same rodeo, you know, just get to play ball again. I knew I was going to play regardless, so I wasn't really stressing whether I was going to start or not because, you know, I was going to get my reps. But, you know, I'm excited. I get to run out there first and, you know, hopefully put up some points early.
That'll be fun. All right, so three different rookie quarterbacks that we will see this weekend. We know Jordan Love is going to play for the Green Bay Packers. We also know that Doug Peterson plans on using his starters, at least for a couple of snaps, for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's Kyle Trask starting for the Buccaneers this week. Oh, it's Baker this week and Kyle Trask next week. All right, so right now they're neck and neck, but it's Baker who will be on the field for the Bay against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Kenny Pickett will be starting for Pittsburgh. So there's only a couple of weeks of the preseason, and we're going to see a bunch of the starting QBs. Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos starters will be on the field as well. Ooh, this is going to be fun. What do we know about Aaron Rodgers? Yay or nay? Is he actually starting the preseason game? I feel like that's still beneath him. I mean, you know he is a Hall of Famer, right? That's all we've heard around Rodgers with the Jets. They've inserted a Hall of Famer into their starting lineup. Well, okay. But I guess the Hall of Famer can't possibly play in a preseason week one game. I guess not.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Brock Purdy. He's healthy. His arm is shaping up. So that I don't know who we're going to see for the San Francisco 49ers this weekend, but the Niners and the Raiders are doing joint practices. So it's Jimmy Garoppolo reunited with his bros. It's Brock Purdy, who's now taken the job. But still, they've got a good relationship. And I like how Brock puts it. We didn't actually hang out together, but
we would, you know, just talk about life and things that he's been through with football and myself. And then obviously just – like the biggest thing for me was just, you know, sort of observing. Obviously at practice, yes, but like even in the locker room, how he's talking to guys and interacting with guys in the locker room. So whether he knows that or not, I learned a lot from him, and I'm very appreciative of that. But yeah, I think our relationship's great. You know, we never really had much time to go out, you know, outside of football and hang out or anything like that. But we do have a good relationship and can talk and catch up on a lot of good things.
Brock was a cool dude, on and off the field. You know, he really, I mean, as a rookie, he was pretty quiet off the get-go, but he started to open up towards the end, especially once he started playing. We got to talk it up a little bit out there today, so he sounded like he was doing good.
Jimmy's so happy. He's smiling away. He's got a new gig with the Raiders, but there's a lot of pressure there. Not just him, but Josh McDaniels in his second year with the Raiders. And for this team now, with the number of stars they have on both sides of the ball, they really do. I know the Josh Jacobs issue is not resolved, and Garoppolo needs to stay healthy, but they've got stars. I mean, Josh McDaniels, this is his modus operandi. He gets rid of people that don't agree with him. Sometimes McDaniels is the only ego that fits in the room or fits through the door. And so that whole Darren Waller situation, let's hope that really wasn't about the coach not being invited to his wedding, because that would be absolutely ridiculous. So I don't love all the roster moves made. However, there are some big names and some stars on both sides of the football, and the Raiders need to capitalize, right? And he's got to be able to show that he's moving them in the right direction. Otherwise, Max Crosby might stage a hunger strike, or at the very least might walk off the job.
Every single day I come in here, I think about winning. You know, I don't do this year round to come in and not make the playoffs. I'm sick of that shit, and I want to keep winning. And I want to get back to the playoffs. I want to be in Cincinnati on the road, you know, in a hostile environment. That's why I play the game. That's why I work the way I work. You know, I come here and I do, you know, I do this all year. And like I said, I want to win championships. I want to be at the top of the game. I want to be the number one guy, regardless of position. And I work for that every single day. So, yeah, you know, I'm fired up for this organization. I love all the people in here. And I'm really just trying to, you know, be my best version of myself and lead, you know, lead by example.
He is a brute. He's so much fun to watch. You wouldn't like him when he's angry. It's time, because exactly a year ago, what were people saying about the AFC West, Jay? This is part of the motivation for the Chiefs last year. What were people saying? We should have listened to you.
Oh, that it was the best division in football and all the primetime games were in the AFC West. And yeah, I knew.
And that the Chiefs were not even the best team in the division.
That was the talk.
That was dumb.
The Broncos got Russell Wilson.
Who thought that? Really? You and I were on point. We said, beware. You can't unseat the Chiefs that easily.
No, I likened the Chiefs to the Warriors in the NBA, where until someone beats them, I'm not going to say that they're out of it, you know? I'm not going to count out the Chiefs, and I'm still not going to this year.
So. No, why would you?
Right.
They're just as dangerous, maybe even more so, because the number of new offensive pieces they brought in last year have had extra time with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Now, they have lost Eric Bieniemy. We'll see whether or not that makes a difference. I guess it's safe to say that the Chiefs are a little tougher than the Commanders. The Commanders need to toughen up on offense, and Bieniemy is out to change all that, so... Well, this was one heck of a week. Ugly photos on Twitter. Whatever you do, do not Google photos of me on Twitter. Just give it about 48 hours because Syracuse did me wrong. I hope you have a good weekend. I will miss you on Sunday night, but we'll talk Monday night when we reconvene. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
The official Winning Time podcast from HBO is back. I'm Rodney Barnes, executive producer on the show.
Magic and the Lakers are back to defend their title.
Join me as I break down each new episode with sports writer Jeff Perlman and the actors, directors, and key collaborators who brought the 1980s Showtime Lakers to life.
It's not about basketball. It's about winning.
Listen to HBO's official Winning Time podcast on Sundays after the show airs on Max.